Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show with your host and As for Football First Captain Rob Wright, an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army football team throughout their season as they seek to claim the Commander-in-Chief trophy.
And welcome back, Army fans. It's your host, Jordan, in Atlantic, Georgia. I'm joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and James in Texas. How's everybody doing this week?
Good, man. I did not manage to go skiing. It rained all the way up into like north and central Vermont. So we ended up hiking through the snow yesterday. But other than that, I had a good weekend. You?
You don't want to go ski down a mountain on a bunch of ice, Dan?
I definitely did not. And I most especially didn't want to drive 5 hours to ski on a mountain of ice. We did talk about it for a long time, though.
That sounds like a good time. I mean, hey, whatever. Different strokes for different folks. James, speaking of ice in Texas, how are you doing?
It's all melted down. It was like a breezy 75 today, although it's kind of rainy. But enjoying, I guess, spring now officially. It's March 1st, so we're officially in springtime and enjoying it down here in Texas.
Is it really spring? I know it was the start of Women's History Month, but I didn't know spring was on the same day. If so,
I don't know exactly when the planets and the sun line up and everything, but it's March.
All right. Very cool. Well, it is March. We're all alive this week. Thank goodness. And as a reminder, this show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all of your custom sporting goods needs. Let them trick out your unit, whether that unit is military, police, fire, flag football team, intramural dodgeball, whatever it is, they got you covered. It looks like we are going to be coming out of lockdown pretty soon across the nation. I know some states have already lifted all restrictions, lifted mask mandates, all that kind of stuff as more and more people get vaccinated. Also, we're heading into the nicer part of the season where people can be outside. So it looks like we are nearing that time when we need to like revamp our wardrobes and get rid of all the sweatpants we've been wearing. And Emblem Athletic can help you with that. They have great stuff with great quality, and their website just makes it super easy. Their artists make it easy. You answer a couple questions. They have this like questionnaire that kind of leads you through. You talk to their designers, and they really just kind of handle the rest. It's incredible. You know, we've used their stuff before, and it's just super easy process. You know, Dan, I know, you know, you've shared trying to design t-shirts for random things, and you have to like custom design the image and upload it and all this other stuff, and all that's taken away with Emblem. So if you need gear of any kind, go to Emblem Athletic.
Yeah, and you know, you new lieutenants out there about to be commissioned, class of 2021 firsties, the first thing you're going to do when you get to your unit is get asked to make a unit t-shirt. Do yourself a favor and sign up with Emblem Athletic. Guaranteed that's going to happen.
Absolutely. Speaking of Army, we have a little Army football news. So new coaching alert, Mike Daniels is the new director of on-campus recruiting. So he's a former University of Cincinnati football standout, an accomplished high school coach, and he participated in the 2020 NFL Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship with the Bengals last summer, which is pretty cool. Following that, he was named to Football Scoop's 2020-2021 Minority Coaches Watch List in December. So he continues Coach Munkin's tendency to hire young, talented coaches from around the country. He seems like a solid hire. Seems like he really understands how to recruit top talent across the nation. I know he has – how many Twitter followers did you say he had, James? It was a lot.
1,000 something, yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is a great hire, especially in 2021. It's a good hire. Additionally, Uniswag Military Appreciation Uniform of the Year went to our 25th Infantry Division Alternatives. Pretty cool uniforms, although I still can't get over the cut of those. I don't know what they did. I don't like the cut. I like the jersey themselves, but the cut just doesn't look flattering.
Wait, Army wins Uniform of the Year, and you're like, yeah, okay, maybe so.
There's always room for recruit. Always room.
I mean, way to represent, Jordan.
Of all of our alternate uniforms, this one was not near the top of the list for me. But
thank you.
It was still a great uniform.
No, it was great. I'm not disputing the design of it. It's just like the cut of the fabric was less than flattering.
You guys are killing me.
That's very chunky.
Every coach right now sitting at some coaching office in Mikey Stadium is head in his hands. Like, you guys are killing us.
All right, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm a fashion forward analyst. Anyway, additionally, pre-draft rumors. We're going to see a ton of them over the next, you know, month or so. They are claiming that the Indianapolis Colts are, quote, talking to John Rattigan. I know I've seen some stuff from him on Twitter, like his highlight reel and all that kind of stuff, and his promo tape and all that. So that might be interesting. And that wraps up our Army football news. You know, it's the off season, so we don't see a ton of content coming out this time of year, unfortunately. Hopefully there'll be a little bit more coming in before the spring game. James, do you want to go ahead and take us through the Army basketball update?
Absolutely. So we're heading into the Patriot League tournament. No games this week, but we have the tournament starting actually on Wednesday, but no regular season is now over. A couple of things. So the Patriot League changed the rules right before the final week of the season. So originally it was just going to be 8 teams. And if you didn't play 12 regular season games, then you weren't going to be eligible to participate in the Patriot League tournament. They've now that would have left Bucknell and American out of the tournament. They've now changed the rules so that Bucknell and American can participate. So we're going to have a 10-team tournament. On the women's side, they did change the rules. However, two of the teams, Colgate and Navy, are out with COVID and unable to participate in the tournament. So they're still going to have an 8-team tournament, but only after they change the rules. So what that meant was Army being a lock as a 4 seed going into last weekend against Boston was no longer a lock. And they sort of had clinched the 4 seed prior. But because of the change in rules the last second, they needed to win some games and needed some help to get that 4 seed. So they lost the first game. It looked like they weren't going to get the 4 seed. And then two games needed to go our way. We needed to beat Boston and American needed to beat Bucknell. Both of those things happened. So Army got the 4 seed. So we're hosting a quarterfinal game this Sunday, Saturday or Sunday.
So that is awesome. But I do have a question. You said 10 teams make this tournament. How many teams are in the Patriot League? That seems like it's got to be most of them, right?
That's all of them.
Oh, okay.
Ordinarily in basketball, every team participates in the tournament. This year, because of COVID, they were going to cut it to 8 so that they can eliminate the play-in games, essentially.
But
American and Bucknell, both teams did not have the games to qualify for the tournament originally, were the two teams that were threatening to take the home game in the quarterfinals away from Army this past weekend. Now, luckily, Army edged them out and gets that home game in the quarterfinals. But, you know, that'll be on Saturday, March 6th, by the way. But there was a while there where it looked like Bucknell especially was going to get the quarterfinal game, even though they originally didn't have enough games to qualify for the tournament. So that kind of sucked that the Patriot League changed the rules the last second. But no harm, no foul. And Army will be hosting the number 5 seed American at West Point at 3 p.m. On Saturday.
Saturday's shaping up to be a pretty good sports day, if you ask me.
Yes. So a couple more things, just setting up the bracket for us, so that we know what's to come. On March 3rd, so on Wednesday, it'll be Holy Cross versus Loyola and Boston versus Lehigh. So games we don't care too much about, but the winner of the Holy Cross Loyola game is going to play Navy, and the winner of the and Navy is the presumptive winner of that game. But if you know, either Holy Cross Loyola or Navy will meet us in the semifinals if we can hold off American at home. So that's sort of our side of the bracket.
It seems extremely likely that we'll have another Army-Navy game on Wednesday, March 10th.
Yeah, and this is sort of why the Star Series can get stupid sometimes, right? Because Navy won the Star this year, but if we beat Navy on March 10th, we're going to be 2-1 against them, but they have the Star for the year. So just a reason why sometimes the Star Series gets kind of dumb. Yes, we will have a tiebreaker round for Army-Navy if Army can hold off American and Navy can win their quarterfinal at home as well. The only thing Navy-wise that might keep them out of the semifinal is they had their two star players out against Loyola this weekend for contact tracing. Whether or not they will be in on March 6th is unknown as of this point. And they struggled against the number 9 seed Loyola this past weekend. So, and that that was at Annapolis. So we'll see. We'll see if they get their players back. But if they get their players back, I think it's very likely we'll end up seeing them in the semifinals.
Well, I saw it on Twitter. Some of the Navy mids were complaining. I guess they're essentially locked down completely in their room 24/7. Something I've never seen before is that they're not even allowed out except for 2 hours a day, which I think is kind of an extreme measure. That sucks.
We have a virus, and the answer is to stay inside.
Hell, what are you going to do?
So then if we want to kind of shape, you know, where's the team at right now? And you know, they've sort of had a strong stretch in the middle of the season where they looked really good. They looked like, hey, you know, this could be a team that can potentially win the Patriot League tournament this year. And now the last four games have just been kind of, yeah, they haven't looked great. They dropped 2 to Colgate, and Colgate's a good team that we beat once earlier in the season, but dropped 2 to Colgate and then looked awful through 3 of the 4 halves that we played against Boston this last weekend, and split a pair with Holy Cross. And we happened to come out with a win against Boston because we had one really, really good half. But then we also had a really, really bad half. So that, you know, there's not a lot of momentum. But on the bright side, that really, really bad half, the second half in their most recent game, they gave up a 22-point lead.
Oof.
With 11 seconds left. They tied it up. Boston tied it up. And Alex King, the senior on senior day, gets the ball with 7 seconds from the elbow and takes a shot and makes it. And there's like a second and a half left after he makes the shot. So he gets the buzzer beater off the glass and in from the elbow with a second and a half. So a great win, a win that could inspire momentum going into the tournament, could feel really good for the seniors. So there's an upside there, but they're really going to have to figure out their offense because their offense has looked relatively constipated to the midseason form they were in. So if they can get that offense figured out, they can win this tournament. If they can't, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost the first game at home.
Wow. That'd be amazing. You go through all that, get the home game, and then drop that game. That would suck. Let's don't do that. Army, let's don't do that.
Let's try not to. But I mean, the good thing is as with basketball, right? It's survive and advance, right? So the coach, the message to the team from the coach right now needs to be, hey, look, whatever happened so far has happened. Here's where we are. You win, we keep playing. You lose, we stop. So let's win, right? And we had a great win this last game on the last second. Let's ride it and let's just keep winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go Army.
Yeah. On the women's side, as we already talked about, we have the Navy and Colgate not participating due to COVID. A little bit of a shame. Colgate wasn't too great this year, but the Navy women's team was actually a decent team. So unfortunately, their season is over, but there's only going to be 8 teams now. So no weekday games if you're a Patriot League fan on the women's side. So we'll fast forward right to Sunday when the tournament starts. And Army is traveling to American to play at 4 p.m. So the men are going to be hosting American, and the women are going to be traveling to American. The women earned a 6th seed in the tournament. They started off the season really cold, and then, like the men, they got really hot midseason. They picked up like 5 of 6 games at one point, and then they sort of tapered off towards the end. So they earned the number 6 seed. They're going in a winnable game against American.
Sounds good. Let's do it. I want to see some Army basketball this weekend.
Beat American this weekend.
Beat American.
Beat them. So that wraps up basketball. We'll have more for you on that as it continues to develop. And like we talked about earlier in the season, Dan is now, I guess you're the de facto Army lacrosse expert of the crew. So can you give us an update on what's been going on? I know they had some big wins, some not so great losses. You know, where are we at?
I think the team's done pretty well. So the As for Lax experiment, as far as for football and our coverage of lacrosse is concerned, I think is going pretty good. It seems like people are aware of the team who are, you know, besides just lacrosse fans. I see some Army football players tweeting about lacrosse. So, I'm going to say that our little experiment here is working and that we're definitely going to continue it. But anyway, yeah, Army Lax, been an exciting couple of weeks. They opened with a close loss to Virginia, very good Virginia team with no time to scout. That was just like almost a pickup game down at Virginia's B field. Then they picked up a huge, huge monster win over Syracuse a week and a half ago. They beat the Q's 18-11. That was the largest margin of victory in the series since 2003. Then Syracuse, just this past weekend, came back and beat the Virginia team that beat Army. Syracuse won that game 20-10, while Army stomped St. Joe's University at home 13-5. So with that, Inside Lacrosse now has Army at number 7 for the second week in a row. Somehow they've slotted Syracuse in at number 6 ahead of us, which I guess you can get mad about that if you want to. We'll talk about that in a minute. Patriot League powerhouse Loyola is slotted in at number 10 nationally. Lehigh is at number 13 nationally. Navy currently sits at number 17 nationally. And just to round it out, Bucknell and Boston University are both receiving votes. So what this means is, regardless of Army's win over the Q's or all this crazy seeding, your reality is that your Army Black Knights have a hell of a hard road ahead of them. They've got their Patriot home opener this weekend at their Patriot opener this weekend, not at home. They're at Boston University. That's on Saturday at 2 p.m. So we talked about the 6th, that Saturday, being a big sports day. You got that Army basketball game, plus you've also got this game against Boston University, team that's receiving votes in the national rankings on ESPN+. Notably, though, Boston University hasn't played a game yet, and it seems like that's kind of a pretty big disadvantage, as we've seen. So after Boston University, we're at home against Colgate, at home against Holy Cross, at home against Bucknell, then on the road at number 13 Lehigh, on the road at number 10 Loyola, at home against Boston University for the second time because of COVID, which is a whole different thing, and then at number 17 Navy to end the regular season. Team looks good. If they can continue to take care of business, it ought to be good. Again, you know, if you're familiar with Army lacrosse, the defense is always good. Defender Marcus Hudgens has been playing just terrific, outstanding lacrosse this year. And goalie Wyatt Schupler, he's been outstanding, like really at All-American caliber. He was stopping point-blank shots from Syracuse. Like, it was unbelievable. Never seen anything like it. What's new this year, though, is that Army's offense actually looks like it's on par with the defense. Attacker Brendan Nickturn is legitimately one of the best players in the country. Dude has 10 goals and 9 assists. I think he and his teammates are at his best when he's not trying to do everything, but he scored a bunch of goals against St. Joe's when it seems like the rest of the offense kind of struggled in the second half, which is what kept that game sort of out of hand instead of letting a very good St. Joe's team come back. And also worth noting, midfielder Bobby Abshire, he's come on strong in the team's strongest unit, which is midfield. He scored 7 goals. He's got 2 assists. He has multiple SportsCenter highlights against Syracuse. It's not hyperbole. Dude was actually on SportsCenter. As I said, you know, this thing about where Army's ranked, it doesn't matter as much as it might sound, even though it's a little aggravating that they're ranked behind Syracuse, because Coach Joe Alberici said on Sal Interdonato's podcast this past week that the goal of Army's non-conference schedule is to set the team up to earn an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. Well, so far, so good. They've done that. The Patriot League winner gets an auto bid, and then usually Army or whoever it is, if they've played a tough enough schedule and gotten some wins, they have an, you know, kind of a 50-50 shot of making that NC2A tournament. However, with the Ivy League opting out this year and really having about half of the really good top 10 teams in the nation, Patriot League has a good chance to send 3 to the tourney, in which case Army lacrosse is set up excellently. Granted, they have to continue to take care of business against what I think we've already established is a really strong, schedule, but they're set up to do real well. And finally, women's lacrosse, they lost the home opener to St. Joe's. That was a week and a half ago. Then the Hofstra game got canceled. They had a scrimmage this past week. They start Patriot League play this weekend at Colgate. You know, bottom line is that the ladies need to win. They've got to sort of reestablish themselves in the season. And, you know, at this point, they're 0-1. I don't think it's a disaster to lose that opener, but they have to come strong now. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Dan. So interesting
on lacrosse, if that's okay, Jordan.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a couple things. So the annoying thing about the polls, not that the polls matter, is that if the polls are indicative of the national attitude and the NCAA, you know, selection committee is following that, then that can get a little scary. What annoys me about it is that of that 1-1 split that Syracuse, Army, and Virginia had between each other, Army was the team that had to play on the road twice. Syracuse gets to play in their home stadium two times, and they're the ones that get the benefit of the doubt. So that's kind of annoying, and I hope that the committee looks at that when they're making those decisions. And I think that in the path to an at-large bid for Army, so assuming that they lose a game in the Patriot League tournament, I think that game needs to be against either Loyola or Lehigh or the eventual champion.
The eventual champion is going to be one of those two if it's not the Black Knights, I think.
Yeah, I would think. But if another team is able to win and Army loses to that team, then that still qualifies. And then I think Army gets one more loss with about two spots opening up in the Ivy League because they're not playing. I think that Army gets in if they have two more losses total against the presumptive, you know, either Loyola or Lehigh in the regular season or Loyola or Lehigh in the tournament as well.
So I guess I don't disagree with that. I guess what I thought when I saw the rankings was this doesn't matter because right now Army needs to set itself up to head into the Patriot League tournament. Like they can't be getting beat by teams that are not as good as they are. And they definitely have to hold serve against Loyola, who they, you know, beat in the tournament last time it was played, which was in 2019. Like this is a team that has everything in front of it right now, but they don't need to be looking at national rankings and NC2A tournaments now. Now they just need to play their best lacrosse. And when they get to the Patriot League tournament, like they just have to do that. And, you know, the NC2A tournament, if these guys play the way that we've seen them play, that's going to take care of itself. Like, I'm not even worried about it. But if, you know, if they are so focused on what's down the road and what's our national ranking and all that crap, which I think we've seen from some Army teams in the past, maybe not lacrosse, but we've definitely seen that a time or two. Like, if they get focused on that stuff, then the rest of this, the wheels are going to come off, and that's where you have problems.
Yeah, and then a couple more things about lacrosse. Brendan Nickturn, I've seen on the short list for the T. Wharton Award a few times. So for those of you who are unfamiliar, it's essentially the Heisman, but for lacrosse. So he's, you know, been listed as sort of the one of the six or seven guys that are getting the most looks for that. So that's cool to see someone so high up and in that list and on a watch list like that. And then the other thing is, I'm going to talk about Army's goalie for a second. So coming into yesterday, I was a little bit worried because St. Joe's goalie this year absolutely is a really great, great player. He went to Notre Dame, graduated from Notre Dame, and now he's doing a fifth year and playing at St. Joe's while he gets his graduate degree. Guy named Jack Zullo was a teammate of actually one of West Point's attackman, Aiden Burns in high school, really good goalie. And man, Brendan Nickturn just tore him apart in the first half. He actually got benched going into the second half. But for a team that is known for its long stick middies and defense, their offense really did a good job against, in my opinion, a really good goalie on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. The first half of that game was amazing. You know, Army was just firing on all cylinders. The second half, it seemed like, I don't know, they let their foot off the gas or maybe St. Joe's made some adjustments. But the whole offense kind of struggled until Nickturn kind of visibly put the team on his back. That's the only time I think I've seen him do that. But he was, you could see he was like, all right, if this is what it's going to have to happen, then, you know, here's four goals. How's that?
I really think the difference between this team being an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament or getting the Patriot League auto bid and winning the championship and actually being a contender in the tournament, I really think the big difference between those two teams right now are winning faceoffs. And I don't know if we've just faced some of the really, you know, the best faceoff guys in the country. We certainly have in two of our games. But we need to be winning 60% of the faceoffs if we want to compete in the Patriot League, and we're not doing that right now.
Let's come back to that, because Virginia has an elite faceoff guy. That's an elite team. Syracuse has an elite faceoff guy. That's an elite team. And St. Joe's doesn't necessarily have an elite team, but they do have an elite faceoff guy.
Right.
Is there room to improve? Is this an area of concern? Yes, but I do think it's better than it has been in the last couple of years.
Right. And of course, with all the new rules this year and the new way that it's working, it's new for everybody. So we don't know exactly how it's going to shake out.
Yeah. Anyway, Jordan, you want to take us back?
Yep. We can go ahead and move on. What I was going to say earlier was, going into this season, I know we kind of had high hopes for women's lacrosse and really hoping that they would turn the corner. Unfortunately, they haven't really got the opportunity to prove that. So hopefully, coming up against, Colgate on Saturday, they're able to establish that moving forward.
Yeah.
Moving on, hockey, James.
Yeah. So Army hockey is looking as good as it's been since I've been following Army hockey. This team has 11 games unbeaten right now, and it's not like they've tied five of them. They have 10 wins and one tie in their last 11. So really hot. The Atlantic Hockey Association decided to cut the regular season a little bit short and start the postseason and the tournament, which makes sense because they're trying to ensure that they're, with COVID and everything, that their champion has as much of a break as possible before the NCAA tourney. But Army's never made the NCAA tourney, and they need to win the Atlantic Hockey Association tournament in order to do that. Now, there is an outside shot that they could get an at-large bid. One of the driving factors in the selection criteria is the computer rankings, and Army's right on the edge there. Now, this year, those are not weighted as heavily because of the lack of games between conferences, but they do have a very good computer ranking. I believe they're number 16 right now. And there are 16 teams that go to the tournament. So we're looking good heading in, but we're likely going to have to win that Atlantic Hockey title in order to get to the NCAA tourney. They're still, for the second week in a row, just outside of the top 20 rankings on USCHO, which you can find online. But the big obstacle in the way is going to be American International, AIC. I believe we're 1-4, 1-5 against them on the year. One of the reasons Army Hockey didn't look good early in the year is because we had to play them so many times. And then we got to the rest of the conference. Yeah, we got to the rest of the conference and we were walking all over them. But I think we were like 10th out of 12 or something like that for the first few weeks because we had to play them so much.
Up until yesterday or the day before yesterday, I was under the impression that hockey really wasn't doing very well this season. And then I saw on Twitter that they had a 10 game unbeaten streak, now stretched to 11 games. And it's like, whoa, I guess I haven't been paying close enough attention. So.
Yeah, no. And they're, again, they're playing against AIC is a hard thing. We've beat them, I believe, once this year. And they're gonna they'll have a chance. It's a one game, to win and we'll see if it goes. Actually, I believe now it's a three game set. So we have to win two or three games. Real quick on senior night, huge second period for Army. Cool things that happened. We had two games against Long Island University. Because of COVID, Long Island couldn't have their senior night at home. The first game of the set of the two nights, Army hosted a senior night for the LIU seniors up at Tate Rink, which was pretty cool. And then on senior night, the next night, Army was down 1-0 going into the second period. And then we came out of the period and it was 5-2. So an absolute explosion, 5 goals in one period.
Nice. Awesome. Love it, man.
Yeah, it's always good to see, hockey do well. I know it's difficult for us to compete because we don't have any Canadians on the team. they're not allowed to have mullets. So, Coach Riley does a good job up there. So,
by the way, we'll be hosting Air Force in the first round of the Atlantic Hockey Tournament.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. These hockey games are never on ESPN Plus, right? It's no, like on
like a Flow Hockey thing. It's way too expensive for my taste. It's not like the $6 a month, and it's not like you get a bunch of sports for it. Like you get collegiate hockey, and you got to pay, you know, $13 for the month, and it's just not worth it.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, anyway, go Army. Beat Air Force.
Beat Air Force.
Speaking of beating Air Force, I got a couple star matches coming up this weekend. Men's gymnastics and baseball and men's tennis face off with Air Force. Personally, I think the star matches are garbage. The exception of football and, you know, sports where there's one definite game. I don't really understand, you know, like we talked about earlier, these star matches, we'll play them three times, win two of them, but one obscure game is designated as the star match, and, you know, that's who takes it. You know, I know even sometimes we'll do a doubleheader weekend and play back-to-back, and, oh, well, you won on Sunday, but you win on Saturday, so you don't get the star. Also, whoever runs the Army-Navy Twitter account and Facebook account, like whatever their social media for the Army-Navy game, they are not an Army fan. Obviously. No,
definitely. So, decidedly not. Definitely not.
Almost every tweet is a retweet of the Naval Academy every single time.
Some point, I'll have a long rant about the Star Series, but we'll do that at a better time.
Yeah.
I always thought it was weird swimming because, you know, you'd have the Army-Navy dual meet, and that's a big deal. But then you also go to, well, back then, the Eastern Collegiate Athletic Conference Championships, where Navy is there. And that's a much bigger deal because that's the championship meet. But, you know, this dual meet was the one that counted for the star. But the one at the end of the year is the one that everybody's training for. So, it is weird.
The biggest issue in my, and I'll keep it short, but the biggest issue in my opinion is that to say that you have pride in winning the Star Series is cool, but understand what that means. That doesn't mean that your academy was better in sports. That means that your academy was better in the NCAA sanctioned sports that the two coaches and athletic departments agreed to have a star appropriated in that year. That's what it means. And if you want to have a lot of pride about that, go for it. But you know what? If we counted all of the other club sports, Army would wipe the floor, right? They'd win orienteering every year. They'd win pistol every year. They'd win team handball, men and women's, every year. They'd win rugby, men and women's, 9 out of 10 years. So, like, to say that you're better at sports because you've won the Star Series is utterly insane. And it doesn't take into account a large percentage of sports at the academy.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's I got to say, one of the reasons that I think West Point does so well in the club sports is that they take those club sports very seriously versus, I'm sure, at most colleges, you know, it's not that they're not serious, but they're not nearly as serious as they could be. You know, it's not like a life and death thing, you know, for people competing in club sports. Like, that's just as serious for those people as it is for anybody else. It's still intercollegiate athletics.
I think crew and hockey are probably the two where, I mean, you have some club hockey teams in the upper Midwest that are as good, if not better, than some of the, you know, top NCAA teams. But by and large, yeah, I mean, the University of Michigan team handball team is not going to be practicing 5 days a week like Army's team is.
Well, I guess I'm thinking about, sports that I have experience with. So, for example, triathlon is not an NC2A sport. It's a club sport. And it's deadly serious, though. The difference is you can't get a triathlon scholarship. Hence, Army and the other service academies tend to do well because if you want to do triathlon at the collegiate level, you may as well go to a service academy. Anyway, enough said. Let's move on.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Yeah, so moving on to fact or fiction, we're going to review one that I think came back in December, you know, right when the coaching carousel started. And that was that Nate Woody would get poached somehow. And, you know, it's March 1st, and Nate Woody is still the defensive coordinator. Very few teams are making moves at this point. You know, I know UCF hired Gus Malzahn a couple weeks ago, and they're kind of filling out his staff. most of the people that he's pulling though are either people he had previously coached with or, you know, were at Auburn and then let go when he was let go. So I think it's fairly safe to say that Nate Woody is going to stay put as a defensive coordinator unless we see some kind of late breaking shakeup, you know, news. Oof. You know, someone gets pulled up to the NFL to be a coordinator or an assistant, or, you know, someone gets a DUI or something like that. I don't see why he would necessarily be forced to leave. James, do you have an updated one for this week?
Yeah. So, well, now that we have sort of realized what's going on with the Ivy Leagues this year, and we've sort of seen a few games under Army's belt in lacrosse, we'll have Fact or Fiction: Army lacks wins an NC2A tournament game this year.
Yeah, I hate this one just because I still want to make the NC2A tournament, and I'm not even thinking about the NC2A tournament because I'm thinking about the Patriot League tournament, but we haven't even started Patriot League play. So like the fact that this is on here and we're talking about it just drives me crazy. And yet if they're going to do it, this is definitely the year. So I'll say Fact.
Jordan.
Oh, I'm going to say Fiction. I just don't think we're there yet. And I hate to say that, but I'm going to be the pessimist here.
All right.
Well, that sucks, Jordan, but what can
we do? I'm sorry. I just, every time I get my hopes up that, you know, any army sport is finally going to get to that next level, I get hurt. So I'm going to say Fiction.
So I have a favorite thing this week, if that's okay.
A favorite thing?
I was getting there.
Oh, sorry. Taking over your job, Jordan. So the National Archives have a bunch of old negatives in coolers somewhere, and they send them out to get processed and developed. And so there were a few that were undeveloped in the last couple of weeks since the last episode that they developed, and it was they sort of didn't know what it was at first. It was a bunch of black football players at West Point in Mikey Stadium, dressed up, you know, as a football team. And so they did some research, and it turns out that the Buffalo Soldiers, which if you went to the academy, you know the history of very well, but briefly, they brought in a bunch of black soldiers to teach cavalry to the cadets. And so they lived there and they trained the cadets, and they were top-notch cavalry soldiers, and they had a football team for their off time, and they would often act as a scout team. They would help out with the Army team. And so they have this picture with some really cool uniforms. So if you haven't seen it, go look it up, check it out. We can put it on the website or Twitter or something, but really cool Army style uniforms from way back in the day. So definitely give that a look.
Yeah, that was cool. Go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
It's a great article. And, you know, I wonder if we could get Emblem Athletic to kind of recreate some of those for the fall. That'd be pretty cool.
Awesome.
Oh, that would be cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I bet we could get that shouted out.
Yeah. I mean, Emblem can create just about anything.
Yeah.
So they'd probably be the people to do it. And that's a friendly reminder to contact Emblem Athletic for all of your sporting needs. Go. If they can recreate jerseys from 100 years ago, they can help you out with your intramural softball team.
There you go. Good job, Jordan.
With that, we're going to close out the show. So thank you for listening. Appreciate the time and hope you enjoyed all the updates on all the non-football sports in the spring, you know, hockey, lacrosse, basketball. Next week, we have a special show planned. So looking forward to that, and stay tuned, and go Army, beat everybody.
Beat them.
Beat American.